as Josh Green gets it to fall. Cut, Josh Green. Scoop shot goes in. Just enough oomph to get it over the arc.
NBA Straya. How are you going? That's right, it is NBA Straya. It's Friday, TGIF, am I right? May 7th, may the 7th be with you. Wait, what? I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer sometimes. Should do more of that, I'd say that much. For Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie Literal here, whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff, that booze money. Oh, yeah. Love that. I'm here in Larryama Studios, keeping you completely up to date with literally everything going on in the NBA, keeping you the lowdown, all the ins and outs of the NBA season. As you get to the very pointy end right now, there's a lot going on. So lucky I'm here for you. We do that while repping Straya, don't we? Oh, yes, we do, mate. Just a little bit. That's what we do. We don't take things too seriously either. Plenty of nerds for that. We keep it loose, but we keep you informed. Right. That's pretty much what's going on at the moment. A lot of playoff positioning, jockeying. It's a weird-ass day today. Luka and Kyrie went at it. Dallas-Brooklyn, that was a pearler, actually. It had a bit of a fizzler in the Battle of LA, though. AD got hurt. We had a great, weird Washington-Toronto game. Anyway, and the Knives are still out for Indy's coach, which is hilarious. We've got all that covered in the Daily Whipper and the NBA Australia Game Wraps. That includes a juicy, juicy slab of That's Not a Knife. Old mate, no mate, spud of the night, better than Lonzo Ball, and of course, Dickhead of the Week, because it is Friday. And of course, we've got Yeah Nas, we've got the unpopular opinion today, we've got our back take house, where we're serving up a flame grilled take, and Australian Player Watch, which is very brief. I think we only had Greeny in action today. And it's Friday, that means a Luke Longley Memorial bloke who does their bloody job. And we'll chuck in a bonus Andrew Gay's Grey Mumba Award for you. How's that sound?
Oh, not bad, Jimmy.
Yeah, not a problem. Right, preview every game over the weekend as well. That'll be fun. Pick and preview for each of those. And we'll close out with a classic Cooking with Bainesy. Love that. Right, let's get to it. NBA Straya episode 606. Let's go.
This is Matthew Dellavedova, and you're listening to NBA Straya.
Watch out for the Shaq attack!
You better. I don't know, especially if you're trying to, like, make a weird argument like Chuck was on Inside the NBA tonight. Got killed by Shaq for saying that the other guys on a team don't matter outside of the superstars. Like, I'm not entirely convinced that does. The weird part was they were kind of arguing at each other and not really knowing what they were arguing about. It seemed like Charles Barkley was trying to say that as long as you've got the superstars, the other guys don't actually matter. And Shaq's like, well, it kind of does because I had Robert Horry, Rick Fox and co in his life and away he went. And yeah, it was weird that Chuck was arguing that. I don't know. Anyway, let's get stuck into the show the way we start every show here at NBA Straya, however, with the daily whip around. Oh, it's a whip around. Oh, it's a whip crack sound. Oh, I get it. James Harden reckons he'll be back next week. He's just back out there doing some rehab at the moment. So, look, if you're the Nets, you hope that you get a game or two of him at the end of the regular season just to get his wind back, get his shooting form back, feeling okay. And because they'll be, a 2 or 3 seed, you'll get to sit back and relax for a couple of days while the play-in tournament sort of plays out, obviously. And then the playoffs will kick in. So, look, that seems like a pretty good deal. It's a good plan on you, James. Now, if only the rehab can move out of the Rip Club. That's all we're asking here, James. That's all we're asking. Right, what else? Mexico City, the G League. It's launching its Mexico City team for the 21-22 season, which is pretty fun. The Capitans GM, Nikolagios, he's worked for the Lakers, so that's kind of fun. Off they go. They announced all this today. That's going to be great. On yous. Kelly Oubre, he's out for another week. The Warriors are like, yep, he's still rooted. That hand, mate, no good. Greg Foster, as mentioned yesterday, the Indiana assistant coach, he tried to punch on with their backup center, Goga. Greg got suspended. Goga got fined. Turns out Goga was being yelled at by Greg Foster for not trying to protect the rim at all in yesterday's Indy game. And then he came back up the other end, nailed a three, and told Greg to sit the fuck down, which is awesome and hilarious. So Goga got fined as well. Foster got done for one game. Goga, that's an unspecified amount, which I kind of love, because, like, what do you fine a bloke for not listening to the coach to the, and then, like, talking shit to the coach, and then the coach flips out on the player? Like, $5,000? Yeah, look, Goga, yeah, you're a bit in the wrong. You told him to go get fucked, mate. What are you doing? What are you doing? Speaking of Indiana, TJ Warren. There's a big piece on Bleacher Report about old embattled Indiana coach Nate Bjorkgren about all the crazy, weird shit that he apparently reportedly is known for doing, where it's like some weird control freak shit is in there. It just seems like a bit of a fucking nutter. And you're like, oh, I can see why the players think he's a fuckwit. And it did go pretty in-depth in this whole TJ Warren, about TJ Warren going, oh, so Nate Bjorkgren's going to be the coach? Yeah, cool. Could I get a trade? Literally, that's it. Apparently, he requested a trade. And then opted for season-ending surgery back there in March, so he didn't have to play for Bjorkgren this season. But then TJ did come out on the old tweet machine and said, oh, don't use me to push false narratives. It's a lot of nonsense on this app today. So TJ might be also basically covering his ass going, hey, don't fucking put my name out here as a bloke who doesn't get along with coaches. You're going to fuck me over, you idiot journalists. You're killing me. So I'm going to come out and forcefully say there's no truth to that. Meanwhile, he very clearly probably fucking hates Bjorkgren, which apparently goes back to his days playing under Bjorkgren in Phoenix. So it was always a bit weird that TJ got booted and sort of passed around just a little bit there. You know, it's similar vibes to the Kelly Oubre sort of stuff. You're like, huh. Yeah, this guy keeps moving teams and there's no real rhyme or reason. So TJ Warren, either way, he said, nah, man, that's bullshit. And everyone's like, bit of smoke behind that fire. Right. Let's do the game wraps. Game wraps, 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 game wraps. Game wraps, the game wraps are always brought to you by WeAre.co. That's right, if you're part of a community sporting group or social club or whatever, creative, you want to fund a project, boom. Check out WeAre.co. You've got a raffle option. You can do some crowdfunding if you want to fund a project. Basically, it's a really, really easy and awesome way to do a bit of fundraising on whatever scale you need to, which is really cool. So check out WeAre.co. They're a little Aussie startup. We love them. We've partnered with them to do the NBA Australia raffle, which is going great guns, and it's awesome. And of course, as I've explained here before, the tickets are very cheap. In fact, probably too cheap. But this is the good part. I get to learn from this experience, don't I? But either way, if you're a local basketball club or footy club or netball club and you want to run a raffle, you want to, you know, basically fund next season or something, boom, go check out WeAre.co. They're awesome. They don't take fees on the back end. They're legends. We love them. So go check out WeAre.co. And the NBA Australia raffle, you can click through and just check it all out. It's all laid out awesomely. It's easy to use. Boom. Go check it out. All through our socials and away we go. Right, today's game, Chicago beat the piss out of Charlotte, 120-99. Turns out Zachy Cakes, Adam Levine returning is a bit of a handy thing for Chicago. And because despite getting dunked into oblivion by Caleb Martin, Vooch dominated this one. And it's one of those things when you got Zachy Cakes, Adam Levine out there knocking in a couple of threes, Kobe hitting a couple of threes, it opens everything up for Vooch again. So they got out to a double digit early. Charlotte fought back a bit in the second, but Chicago's shooting was just on. They ran away within the third quarter. They just couldn't miss in the third. And the Hornets, look, they just couldn't hit a goddamn thing. LaMelo had one of his worst games of his rookie season. Terry Rozier stunk, and outside of PJ Hamilton, Washington and Malik Monk popping off the bench for a quick fire 20, there was nothing else going for the Hornets. Game was done. They got belted. 21 points. It was an embarrassment. PJ, he went 6 of 8 from downtown. He had 24. Monk had 20 off the bench. LaMelo, 1 of 10. Oof. He did have 9 assists, so that's not bad. Rose, 5 of 16 for his 12 points. Oh, classic Terry. Scary Terry. He's going to scare you with how many fucking bricks he throws up. The Bulls went 18 of 37 from downtown. That's pretty handy. That's when you've got dudes like Lowry dropping in a couple off the bench, and away you go. Kobe White also chucked in a few. He had 14, 4 and 6, but Vooch dropped a 29 and 14, went 5 of 7 from downtown, did the big man. The big Montenegrin. Levine had 13 points in his return. 5-11 shooting. Knocked in a couple of threes, as mentioned. Larry's did too. Charlotte dropped to 32 and 34 with that loss. Chicago, 27 and 39. It's an interesting one for Charlotte now because, look, they're sort of just cruising along, happy days, kinda, right? And they're like, no, it's all right. I think we're pretty happy with, like, being in the eighth spot. They're only one game up on the Pacers now with the Pacers win today and this embarrassing loss for Charlotte. I feel like you want to have the double chance if you're the Hornets, right? So you want to stick up there in eight. Keep a fucking head on a swivel there, Charlotte. Where, meanwhile, the Bulls are still 3.5 games back of the Wiz for the 10 spot, and who knows what they're doing. Brooklyn lost in Dallas in, look, 113-109. You're like, Jimmy, that's a pretty close game, man. It's like, yeah. But the way KD was shooting in the second half of this game, it didn't actually feel very close. Like, because KD and Kyrie dominated for the Nets in the first half. They kicked ass, but Dallas was still right there with them. Luka was doing work. Hardaway the lesser was doing work. Then KD's shooting fell away in the second half. He just went ice cold. And Dallas just eked ahead. And then in the fourth quarter, like, thanks to some very timely Luka dimes to, for Dorian Finney-Smith and Tim Hardaway the lesser threes. And then a couple of his own buckets, like, they just stayed up. And it was like, oh. Shit, they've just won. There was like a couple of moments very, very late. Like Kyrie hit a big three and you're like, oh, they might have a bit of a snip. Ah, nah, game's over. And this is the problem, I guess, with the Nets and their defense. Even when Luka's not shooting very well, he has 24 on 22 shots. He actually shot worse than KD, which is kind of weird and hilarious. But he did go 5 of 13 from downtown. But this is the thing. With that D of the Nets, you're like, oh, well, our offense is a little bit wonky. It's like, well, shit. You just, like, Kyrie was incredible. And they still had no chance really there in the end because they just couldn't get stops. It was just bucket for bucket for bucket. And if they missed, the Mavs got one back on them. It was crazy how that worked. Kyrie had 45. He was amazing. 7 of 13 from downtown. Just making some... His shot making is just insane at times. Where you're like, how does he manage this? He just sort of stops and pops in the lane off a bit of a drive where you think he's going to the rim. Doesn't matter. It's wet. The threes, doesn't matter who you're throwing at him, you just drop it over the top. Anyway, KD finished with 20, but he shot 7 of 21. The big problem was going 0 of 4 from downtown. Blake Griffin started fast, then faded. I think he had 8 in the first quarter, finishes with 10. He did have a double-double, though, 10 and 10, and kind of handy, but this is the sort of game where you're like, oh, well, KD doesn't have it. Blake, can you give us 16? 17? 14? Just not 10. Not 2 points in three quarters. Al Jefe and Bruce Brown are similar vibes, 11 and 10 each too, and that's sort of the limitations of Al Jefe and Bruce Brown's, right? If Shamwell's not firing, if Joey Harrison and right up there in the guts, yeah, game over. For the Mavs, Luka, as mentioned, 24 points, 7 of 22 shooting, but 5 of 13 from downtown. 24, 10 and 8 for him in the end. He missed like 4 straight free throws at 1.2, which is really weird. Finishes 5 of 10 from the stripe. Just bananas. Hardaway the lesser at 23. Dorian Finney-Smith, 17 and 8. He went 3-6 from downtown. Good game for him. Jalen Brunson, huge as always. 15 points. And look, Dallas get away with one. Feeling pretty good about that. They kind of sleptwalked through the little bit of an end. Luka was good and got them over the hump. Brooklyn just, ugh. Fascinating to see how this is their fourth straight loss. This is the only time it's happened all year. They're 43 and 24. They're only half game up on the Bucks for the 3 seed at this point. Still in number 2, though. They just need a couple of nice wins and they'll cruise out the year. But, Milwaukee, you're coming hard. And Dallas, 38 and 28 now. Whoa, hanging tough in the 5 spot. It's a half game up on the Los Angeles Lakers of Los Angeles, California now. So, couple of interesting days coming up over the weekend. Washington beat Toronto. The Tampa Bay's Raptors, 131-129 in overtime, which was crazy because the Raptors dominated most of this. Siakam went off, and then they let it slip right away at the end of the fourth thanks to, like, Raul Neto and Davis Bertans. Hello, look at my stupid Amish beard. Latvian Ryan Anderson. And then there was an insane finish. Like, Gary Trent Jr., like, hit back-to-back threes. Got the Raps back up 5 with 3 minutes left, but Beal and Westbrook just marched back down the end of the court and just scored at will. It's like bucket for bucket down the stretch, and then they just kept scoring. It was crazy. They tied it up. They got the lead on a Beal 3-point foul, and then it sort of turned into the foul game right down the stretch. It was pretty weird because they're up 3. Not much time left. They inbound the ball to the Raptors. Siakam's got it. Raul Neto seemingly tries to foul him, which is what you should do up 3. He doesn't actually get the foul. Siakam gets the ball to Freddie VanVleet. The fighting VanVleet nails a massive 3, sends it to overtime. Bertans tries a game-winning three in regulation that wasn't even fucking close. It was so sad. But yeah, the foul game down the stretch kind of actually worked out there for the Raptors. And then it almost worked again in overtime because the Wiz got right up the guts of the OT, never trailed. But the foul game again down the stretch really, really almost worked for the Raptors because 30 seconds left in overtime, there's a four-point lead. Rusty turns the ball over, complains about the no-call, intentionally fouls, sends Gary Trent to the free throw line, and the Raptors are still in it. That leads to the foul game, and Mr. Garrison Matthews missing one free throw with 4 seconds left. Two-point game. They get the ball in. Siakam drives the length of the court and throws it up. Ah, horrible brick. Was he trying to bank that in? It was not very good. Game over. The thing is, look, Siakam was so good the rest of the game, he deserved to take the shot to win it. Anyway, big win for the Wiz. Unstoppable. Apparently, that's what they do now. They're just unstoppable. The freight train that you can't stop. For the Raps, look, Siakam was 44, 11, and 7. He was unreal all game. It's the sort of game where you're like, yes, Pascal, can we get more of this? It might be, it is too little too late because they are 4 games back of the playoffs. So, sucked in, Raptors, I guess. Van Vliet had 22, 6, and 5. He shot 7 of 25, though. What are you doing, Fred? Have another kid. Gary Terrence Trent D'Arby Jr. had 25. Big Dick Kim Birch crushing it with the Raptors. 17 and 9 with 4 blocks. But not much help from the bench for the Raps there. They shot 8 of 23 combined. Malachi Flynn and co. not able to keep up with the Wiz. Rusty, 13, 17, and 17. For the Wizards, unbelievable. Beal had 28, 5, and 5. In the clutch, he had 14 points on 4 of 5 shooting from the field and 4 of 6 from the line. He was awesome. Rahul Neto had 5 of 7 from downtown for his 25. Batans chucked in 14. But Rolo, old Robin Lopez, was massive. He went 12 of 14 from the free throw line. He was incredible. Anyway, there you go. Toronto now 27 and 40. Washington 31 and 36. Feeling good, feeling great. A half game back of the Pacers for the home court in the 9-10 matchup. Anyway, speaking of teams in the 9-10 spots, the Memphis Grizzlies lost against the Detroit Basketball Pistons. Yes, that's right. A playoff team versus the second worst team in the NBA. What's going on here, man? Memphis got absolutely straight killed.
So he got straight killed.
Detroit beat the shit out of him. Both teams are shorthanded. Detroit beat them 111-97. The Grizz had no Grayson Allen or Xavier Tillman, but Detroit didn't have Hamidou Diallo. He was Hamidon't today. Jeremiah Grant was out. Killian Hayes was out. Pacey Josh Jackson was out. Plums was out. And even DSJ and Magruder were out. Memphis were on a back-to-back, but still, that's no excuse. They had 17 points in the second quarter and they got killed.
So he got straight killed.
They cut it to 2 in the fourth quarter, but the Pistons reeled off like a 10-3 run and they just ran through the tape and the game was over and they win by 14. What a world. Unbelievable. I'll tell you what, the Pistons had 7 players in double digits though and all their starters were in double digits and Wayne Ellington was the big guy. Every damn time, it's Wayne Ellington. Ja Morant had 20 points, 5 assists, but he also had 5 turnovers. My name is Jonas Valanciunas, 19 and 16 for him. Triple J had 17. Look, looked a bit better today. He shot 4 of 12, though, and this is going to be the problem for Triple J, Jaren Jackson Jr. Can he get up to speed offensively in the time left? And they brought him back at probably the right time. But the problem is they keep losing games. So Memphis is not feeling great at the moment, but look, they should have won this, but what are you going to do? Bane! Desmond Bane backed up his 22 the other day with 2 points on 1-of-5 shooting. Dylan Brooks stunk. Slow-mo stunk. I'll talk about them in a second. And the Pistons, though, Wayne Ellington hit 6 threes. He was awesome. Corey Joseph had 18 points and 11 assists. Unbelievable. Beef Stew had 15. Sekou Doumbouya had 14. Big Deke Bay. Look, the Pistons' young dudes mixed with those veterans, Corey Joseph and Wayne Ellington. Apparently, that's all it needs for the Memphis Grizzlies to get beat. The Grizzlies are now back in a tie in the loss column with the Warriors for 8-9 in the West. And the Warriors beating the Thunder today means the Warriors are half game up on them. So the Grizzlies back down in 9. They're 33-33. Meanwhile, Detroit 20-47. That's actually still the second worst record in the NBA, but not by much. Atlanta should have beaten Indy, but they didn't. 133-126. What a world. Atlanta, how do you not win this? They got down big early. They were down 10 after 1, down 14 at the half. They were still down 18 in the third. They fought back. But after digging that hole, it was pretty tough. They had it all the way down to 1 point late. But I'll tell you who came in and just went, oh, yeah, nah, we're going to win this now. My sweet baby, Carrots LeVert. Woo! Kept knocking in shots to keep him ahead. He had 9 points in the last 2 minutes. Unbelievable. Answered every Hawks bucket. Trey and Gallo kept missing threes. And Indy ran away with it just in the end. Just, whoa, crazy game. The Hawks shot 51% and 40% from three. Only had 12 turnovers, but let the Pacers shoot 62%. The Pacers, a team who, like, whose coaches and players want to punch on. It's crazy. Trey at 30 and 10. He was pretty good. Bogdan was even better. 28 points, 6 of 10 from downtown. John Collins, that's a tall cocktail at 25 and 7. Dini Legalinari had 15. But Point Huerta is going to hurt ya. He had 6 assists, but he shot 3 of 10. Ugh. Clint Capella had 10 and 9 as well. But for Indy, sweet baby. My sweet baby, Carrots LeVert. 31 and 12. 12 assists. Call him the servant. Oh, can you call me the servant? That's a good nickname. Shut up, Kevin! The servant. Anyway, the Souvlaki King, Domantas Sabonis, 38 and 9. He was awesome. 30 points, 8 rebounds, 9 assists. Shot 12 of 14 from the floor.
Oh, yeah, not bad.
TJ McConnell went 9 of 12 from the floor as well. He had 19 points and 4 steals. Dougie McBuckets had 13. Indy, run away with this. 37-31 and now Atlanta. Indy, 31 and 35. And as mentioned, kind of like weirdly in that 9-10 spot. They're only a half game up on the Wiz, but only one game back of the Hornets. So what a world. Golden State beat the pants off OKC 118-97. A bit of a get-right game for Golden State. Teo Maledon and Ty Jerome were kind of fun for the Thunder there, but Warriors just swept them all aside, didn't they? Darius Rucker-Baisley had 22. Maledon had 15. Dort went 3 of 13. Ty Jerome finished with 23. That's nice. The Warriors went 19 of 47 from downtown. Steph had 34 and 7 assists. Pretty bloody good. Wigo chucked in 18. Draymond had a triple single, 5-9 and 9. But I'll tell you what, Michael Mulder and Scully. 7 of 13 from downtown. He had 25. He was awesome. Anyway, the Warriors just rolled him today. 34 and 33, as mentioned. Now they're a half game up on the Grizzlies for the 8 spot. Wouldn't that be fun? Anyone out of the 5 through 8 against the Warriors versus, you know, seeing the Grizzlies take them on is way more fun. Dallas, the Lakers, or Blazers versus the Warriors. Tasty. And speaking of which, well, OKC at 21 and 46. Do you really need to know their record? Yes. They are, actually, with that extra loss, they are, I believe, the fourth worst team in the NBA. So that's pretty good. What else? Lakers Clippers. Battle of LA. Lakers lose this one and they just got fucking smoked. It was weird. They were just never really in it. AD gets hurt, but he was playing a shit game beforehand. They lose this 118 to 94. And they were down like, what, 23 at the half? Which was is the first time the Lakers have trailed by 20 plus points in a half over the last two seasons, which is absolutely crazy. Down 23. It was a flat out dismantling. No LeBron, no Schroeder, no Jared Dudley. But AD, look, as soon as he walked backward into that scoring table and twisted his ankle? Jesus, Jimmy, learn how to speak. The Clippers just kicked the crap out of him anyway. Like, it was wild. The second half was basically garbage time. The Lakers could make zero inroads because every time Kuzma or anybody threatened, the Clippers always answered. And there was a couple of just FU buckets from Kawhi in the fourth where you're like, it's just clamps giving you the stamp and just going, nah, you guys aren't coming back. Just stop it. There was like a point where it's like down to 18 and you're like, here come the Lake up. Nah. Kawhi just goes down, throws in a nice little like, you know, lane jumper and the game was over. Nice to see Markieff Morris make his first triple since April 17 though. But I'll tell you, that's pretty interesting. He's gone 10 games without hitting a three. Now, you might wonder, hey, Jimmy, doesn't his twin brother shoot threes okay at the moment? And I'd say yes. And you'd then also ask, hey, Jimmy, wasn't he playing his twin brother today? And I'd say, again, yes. Hey, Jimmy, is your long-running theory that the Morai fucking switch and bait every time they feel like it, and no one can tell Markieff and Marcus apart anyway. Do you reckon they just did it today? Again, I'll tell you, of course they did. Mook is shooting 43.8% from the floor. Markieff has not made a fucking three for 10 games. 100% Mook played for the Lakers today. AD, look, he was struggling before he got hurt anyway. He had 4 points of 2 of 9 shooting, 1 rebound and 1 turnover. Was not looking great. Kuz finished with 25. Trez had 11. No one else did a damn. No, he had 14. My bad. Forgot to add that at the end. No one else did a damn thing. They were the only two players, Kuzma and Trez, in double figures for the Lakers. Because my favorite thing about Lakers fandom is how they all talk themselves into Andre Drummond, we're going to win the title. It's like, have you ever watched Andre Drummond play? There's a reason his teams are always shit. And its name is Andre Drummond. He had 9.6 rebounds, 5 fouls in 22 minutes. He was a -7. They stunk with him. For the Clippers, all the starters were in double figures. The team shot over 55%. Well, they did for a bunch of it. It was 54% in the end, but still. Paul George had 24. He was really good. 24, 7, and 5. He shot 8 of 12. Just try and slow that down in the playoffs there, Lakers. Kawhi. Just had a lazy 15, 8, and 6. He was awesome. The turnovers and the scoring, the lack of scoring is like a little bit of a concern, but it's also Kawhi playing through like a foot injury. So, you know. If he's feeling better in a couple of weeks, it's not going to matter. 11 and 3 for Boogie and 11 and 5 assists for Rondo. You love to see it. Reggie Jackson had 10. Zoobs was crushing at 11 and 8 for him. Either way, big win for the Clippers. They're 45 and 22. The Lakers dropped to 37 and 29. And as mentioned, oh, geez, here comes another LeBron whinge. I can't believe there's a play-in tournament this year. We're 37 and 29, and we're in the sixth spot. It's like, shut up, LeBron. Jesus. Right, let's start. Let's do the old NBA Australia Pro performance of the day, shall we? Yeah, let's do that.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
Oh, that's a knife. Well, probably the Clippers for just dismantling the Lakers, and then... I like the broadcast going, yeah, well, we don't know where LeBron is. We haven't really seen much of him. But it's like, oh, yeah. He's going busy to, do some back-channeling with Adam Silver to have a fucking bitch and moan about the playing tournament. So Adam Silver goes, nah, we're not going to do it this year, actually. We took a big, long think, and actually, we're not going to do it. It's like, is someone choking you out, Adam? Rich Paul's like, hello. No, today's NBA Australia pre-performance of the day. Kyrie was insane. The 45 on 17 of 31 shooting, 7 of 13 from downtown. He was awesome. He also airballed a layup at the end. It would have made it a little bit more interesting, so nah. My sweet baby carrots, 31 and 12, clutches shit down the stretch. But I'm going to give this to Brad Beal because that Wiz game, like that was done. They were dusted. The wraps are up, as mentioned, but he and Rusty just fucking kept on just going, nah, we've got this. Nah, we've got this. Nah, we've got this. And as mentioned, in the fourth quarter and overtime, down the stretch in clutch times, he had 12 points, shot 5 of 6 and 4 of 6 from the line. He was incredible. 28 and 5 and 5. Great job, Brad Beal. But my sweet baby, Caris LeVert, 31 and 12. He was incredible. I'll give it to both of you. On yous. How about Spud of the Night, though?
Spud of the night.
Look, LaMelo went 1 of 10. We all know that. It's like, haha, LaMelo ball. Oh, sucked in. He had a bad game. But we don't like to give Spud of the Night to rookies. It's a learning curve, etc. And 24 minutes, 1 of 10, 4 points, 9 assists, 4 fouls. What are you going to do? I'd rather give this to a pair of Memphis veterans there. Slow-mo Kyle Anderson goes 3 of 11 and Dylan Brooks. Ugh. So in a must-win game, going up against a Pistons team without literally any of their good players, it's rookies and like Wayne Ellington and Corey Joseph. And Dylan Brooks goes 4 of 16, including 0 of 7 from downtown, and he fouls out. They combine to go 7 of 27 between them in a game that you're like, well, we don't want to slip out of the 7-8. We want to give ourselves a, you know, double chance here in the play-in tournament. Nope. Slow-mo and Dylan Brooks shit the bed, crap it up, spud it up. So there you go. Spuds in the night right there. Who's old mate? No mates though, Jimmy.
Old mate, no mate.
Old mate, no mate.
Old mate, no mate.
Old mate, no mate.
Old mate, no
Oh, mate, no mates. Nah, he's your fucking mate. Nate Bjorkgren, old coach Hyper Ballard himself. He is copping it from all angles. Oh, Jesus. What's happening, Nate? Look, the amount of story. Look, if you are in a profession and a story comes out about you, and there's just an absolute fucking shit ton of anecdotes and more than a few people willing to just shit on you, that's 100% old mate, no mate's territory. There's basically like stories from his time in Phoenix, stories from his time in the G League, stories from his time in Toronto, stories very clearly from his time in Indy. Everyone's just like more than happy to fucking bury this motherfucker. And it does have definite shades of Jim Boylan, doesn't it? You know, not just because of the egg-headed baldiness, but Jesus, the knives are out. It's like, yeah, he's a fucking loony. He was like yelling about our plane not taking off. Everyone's like, what are you, coach, they're de-icing the wings, you fucking idiot. Sit down. There's shit like this in these stories where you're like, oh, this guy fucking sucks. I hate him. So, yeah, Bjorkgren, just rough couple of days, comes out of the week, just definitely old mate, no mates. That is a, like, every bus ride that he has for the rest of this season, you know that he's like in the back of it. If he's as much of a nutter as those articles sort of purport, then you know he's getting on the fucking bus and just eyeballing literally everybody else in the bus. He's going, you fucking talking? Who you fucking talking? Who's on your phone? Who's on the phone? Show me your phone right now. It's like, coach, would you fuck off? Bjorkgren, not long for the paces. Pantsing of the day. Fatty, fatty, fat, fat, Vooch. Look, he had a great game, but as mentioned, he got straight fucking killed.
He got straight killed
by Caleb Martin. He ducked his head out of the road while trying to contest the shot and had a sook after he got killed because he copped a knee to the guts nuts. One of those classic ones where it's like, that was the guts nuts. It doesn't matter if it was the nuts or the guts. You were in the air. You were challenging the shot. Caleb Martin, mid-dunk, fucking gave you the business with the knee, whether it be to your old fella or to your tum-tum, it doesn't matter. It fucked you up. Vooch is laying on the ground. I got shot. It's like, no, you just got fucking put on a poster, Vooch. Settle down, mate. That was some definite pantsing. And I love that there's like no chance that the refs are going to call any sort of offensive foul and throwing a fucking knee up there. It's like, hey, block the shot. Then I'll call the foul. I love it. Who was better than Lonzo? Also, props to Thad Young for basically going out there up against the Hornets and, like, you know, heard a little bit of shit talking. Malik Monk had sort of talked a bit of shit to him, so Thad dunked on fucking everybody. It's pretty gnarly. He's like, yeah, man, we're from the South. I've still got that athleticism. It's like, yeah, Thad Young can do it. That's right. That's Brisbane Bullets. Oh, I don't know. Better than Lonzo Ball for today, however.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. You're coming for everybody.
Coming for every. Definitely not his little brother today. 1-10, Lamelli. You're killing me. I'm going to give this one to Michael Mulder and Scully because he had an insane game. He's a new Splash Brother. I love it. Forget Clay. You've got Michael. Considering it's weird that Michael Thompson is Clay Thompson's dad and it's spelled M-Y-C-H-A-L. That's what Michael Mulder and Scully's first name is. It's pretty weird. Are we sure that this isn't like a lost Thompson? Anyway, he goes 9 of 15, 7 of 13 from downtown. 25 points. Way to go. Better than Lonzo Ball, I'll tell you that much. Even though Lonzo's out there dropping 7 threes with regularity at the moment, Michael Mulder, you're better than Lonzo Ball because Lonzo didn't play today. Because the Pelicans didn't either. All right, finally, dickhead of the week.
Dickhead of the week.
Oh my fucking god, I'm sick to death of LeBron play-in tournament shit. It's like, seriously, we didn't hear fucking boo about LeBron or Luka complaining about the play-in tournament when the Lakers were like in the top three, did we? So, what has changed? Oh geez, they might be in the play-in tournament. Whoever came up with this should be fired. Shut up, idiot. That's unbelievable. What a dickheaded thing to do. Oh, whoever came up with this play tournament should be fired. Fuck you, you sook. If you're good, you don't have to worry about it. If you're a fucking sookie la-la who just wants to have a bitch and moan, then yeah, you should be worried. And I'll talk about it in a second in yeah, nahs, but I'll tell you what, the Lakers might need to be worried. But either way, LeBron and your playing tournament, oh, whoever said to you, whoever came up with this needs to be fired, you are the dickhead of the week. If only because, like, you've probably won this already this week. But the problem is, because LeBron says it, we have to fucking hear about it for the next 2 weeks. It's like, oh, well, you know that LeBron said about the play-in tournament, he thinks whoever came up with it should be fired. It's like, yes, we get it. God, shush prick. Anyway, let's do some yeah nahs right after this.
This is Cam Glidden.
This is Anthony Drimmick.
This is Mitch McCarron.
This is Jason Kadee.
This is Darryl McDonald.
Hey, guys, this is Hugh Greenwood.
Yo, what's going on? This is Illy.
This is Mark Worthington, or commonly known as Wurtho, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do some yeah nahs. They are brought to you by thedailyliquor.com from East 9th Brewing. If you're in Melbourne, mate, you've got Mother's Day, you've got NBA playoffs, you've got footy season. Don't go to the Bottle-O like an idiot. Go to thedailyliquor.com and they've got all the booze you need. Especially for Mother's Day. You shouldn't have been fucking around. You should get on that right now. The best part is their booze specials are unparalleled. They're so bloody good. A, the prices are incredible, but I love the party pack mixes and all the different sort of, you know, a couple of sixes of this and a bottle of wine of that, some cocktails over here, and off you go. It's unreal. So you can go check out all the awesome beers, but also all the great wines and cocktails they've got on offer. And if you're in the Melbourne metro area, geez, use your words, Jimmy. You get same day delivery before noon. If you order before noon, that is. And so the best part on top of that, though, get a free six-pack. If you bang in the code STRAYA when you spend 20 wing whams. That's all you got to do. Spend 20 wing whams and get a free sixer of the DOS XPA, which I've got an icy cold sixer in the fridge for tonight. I'll tell you that much. Anyway, so there you go. Get some booze and get a free sixer on your mate, Jimmy. And thank me later. Right, let's do some yeah nahs. This is where we take some NBA storylines, decide whether more yeah, more nah. Number one, do you foul up three, Jimmy? Yes. Yes. Yeah, nah, yeah, always. Washington should have fouled the Raps up three, no time left. Instead, it goes to overtime because Fred VanVleet has hoops of time. What are you doing? Just do it. I mean, it's not fun. It's not great, but you win the game. Just don't do it while they're shooting. Is Chuck right? Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving don't make the guys around them better, but James Harden does. Yeah, nah, nah. I reckon this is a very, very... Look, to be honest, there's an argument to be made that Harden is probably more important and better for the Nets in general than just Kyrie or Kevin. Because you have seen that, like, the Nets record with Harden is unreal. And it's, like, under 500, I think, without him. So he's obviously probably just more important to that team just because he fills a role that no one else really can. Whereas when they don't have Kyrie, Harden can sort of slide over. When they don't have KD, Harden can sort of slide over and do some scoring. Whereas without Harden, you don't have quite that middleman to sort of fill in the gaps, which is interesting because it's not really something we thought about, right? When we're talking about, big three, can you believe it? There's only one ball. Turns out, though, they do fill very specific roles on the court. And when you have a game like today where KD is just off and just has a cold shooting night, if you've only got Kyrie going off, you kind of need someone else to fill in the gaps, and Harden wasn't there, so it's a bit tough. But no, I don't think Harden makes the guys around him better. Well, I don't think that KD and Kyrie don't make the guys around them better. I think if KD's on, everybody's fucking better. Everyone's good. Oh, geez. Have we underrated Rusty Westbrook, Jimmy? Yeah, nah, yeah. I mean, I haven't, so I'm going to say nah. Because I love him, and if you've listened to this show for any stretch of time, you know that I'm just like, have never given up on my love for Rusty Westbrook. Because, I don't know, I just want players who play fucking hard all the time. Sometimes damn the torpedoes and damn the consequences, right? Like, that's what Rusty does, and I love it. Good or bad, it's always interesting. And that's what I'm all about. I need to be entertained. I just love this resurgence in The Wiz because it's throwing shade at all the Russ slander fuckwits out there. It's like, oh, Westbrook's bad at basketball. It's like, I mean, He does some dumb shit, but he does some awesome shit as well. Let's all just settle down. Anyway, Rusty and Beal is a floater in the Eastern Conference playoffs. Love it. Let's go. Let's go, Wizards. Speaking of floating around in the play-in tournament, the Lakers. Jimmy, are the Lakers toast without AD and LeBron for maybe the next couple of games? Yeah, no. Shit, they might be. Because I'll tell you what's important. Tomorrow's game against the Blazers in Portland. Because don't forget, the Blazers are just behind the Lakers there in 5-6-7. Lakers are currently 6th. Blazers are currently 7th. This will tag the Lakers with one more loss than the Blazers, should the Blazers win. And it's not a good thing. So no shooter, no LeBron, probably no AD for tomorrow. I mean, you're going to be in a bit of dire straits. And not even the good dire straits. We're not talking Mark Knopfler over here. Romeo and Juliet. I mean, I kind of actually, though, I'm warming up to the idea that the Lakers, being in the play-in tournament, however, is not a bad thing for the Lakers, because I think basically by the time they get LeBron back, by the time they get AD back, hopefully, from this latest little injury, it gives them at least one tune-up game before going into an actual series, right? Like, say they're in the 7-8, they win the 7-8 game, boom, then they play whoever's in 2, and boom, off you go. Look, you've still got that one game under your belt where you're like, ah, we're feeling better about ourselves because LeBron and AD just proved that they're healthy and we're good. But it's pretty wild, right? It's pretty wild because they kind of need that tune-up game because we haven't seen LeBron and AD together clicking and kicking ass and taking names for ages. They've lost 7 of 9. It's wild. I mean, of course, for all this to be even like a thing, the Blazers have to win tomorrow. So we'll see what happens there. And finally, Brad McGeegan. Jimmy, has Will Magnay taken over from Nick Kay as your best mate from Perth? Yeah, nah. Oh, you can't replace Nick Kay in my heart. I should try to get Will on the show, shouldn't I? That just seems like a smart thing to do. But either way, Nick Kay coming on this show after all the slander I'd thrown in his way prior to the World Cup and then him shutting me down quite expertly and then coming on the show like a fucking legend means that Nick Kay can never be replaced as my best mate from Perth. So I'm going to go, yeah, nah, nah, Brad. Will Magnay coming on the show and doing a Will's Thrills, that might do it. Oh, geez, hopefully he never listens to that. Let's do an unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me, look at me,
look at me. Look at me, look at me. Jokic and Embiid should both be All-NBA first team this year, but the fact that they're actually listed as forwards centers means that they could be. I kind of don't like it. Is that weird? Because I kind of like the idea of the All-NBA teams actually being actual teams that you could like play against each other rather than like an all-star team where it's like, these are the 5 most fun dudes we can come up with or the 5 most popular. Like, the All-NBA first team, it just, you can't play Joker and Embiid on the same team, you know, kind of idea. So it's just weird that we could have them list. Like, they've never played forward this year at all. They're fives. I know that Jokic's idea of like positionless basketball and offense is like, you know, pretty awesome and pretty fun, and that's why he's going to be the MVP. He's an offensive hub. He does everything. He's not just there fucking demanding the ball in the post, back to the basket, turn around and all that sort of shit. Neither does Embiid, really. I mean, Embiid is way more obviously a traditional center than Jokic on offense, but again, at the same time, on defense, Jokic is still a giant 7-foot goddamn Serbian. So here we are. He's still a 5. Embiid's still a 5. I don't want them in the same NBA, All-NBA team. It sucks for Embiid, but this is the price you got to pay. And I think, yeah, we're going to come up with our All-NBA teams for next week, and it's going to be rough. Like Steph, CP3, Dame, Luka, Giannis, Randall, Embiid, and Jokic. How do you sort it all out? Well, that's a problem for future Jimmy next week. That'll be a good one. I think we'll do a live stream. Maybe we'll do the All-NBA team live stream next Friday or something. Sound good? Yeah. Right, let's do an Outback Takehouse now, though.
It's Friday at Outback, and you know what that means. Oh, yes. Ice cold, 4-for-1, TGIF, Foster's Oil Drum cans full of icy cold Foster's Lager. It's Aussie for beer. No, it's not. It's fucking horse piss in a can. that we flog off to you idiot Yanks. No, seriously, it tastes like shit. No one back home drinks this shit. The fact that we put it in a bigger can just makes you fucking Yanks love it even more. Because you're fucking lunatics. Only at Outback. And today's flame grill take is Adam Silver is making sure that the Lakers play in the play-in tournament, if only to maximize the play-in tournament's cut-through and saleability to all the idiot Lakers fans out there and casuals, but more so for the profits. Just think about it for more than 2 seconds. What teams would bloody Adam Silver rather in a play-in game to shine a whole big spotlight on the play-in tournament than the Lakers versus the Warriors? More Lakers games means more money. When he does this, it means more money. Only at Outback. Yeah, spot the lie. Adam Silver's sitting up there in his ivory tower in Manhattan, just rubbing his fingers going, yes, we're going to make fucking bank. Lakers in the playing game. LeBron can bitch and moan as much as he wants. Oh no, Rich Paul's here. Right, let's take a break and be back with Australia Player Watch right after this one.
Hey, this is Isaac Humphries and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's talk about Knowable. What do MVP candidate Chris Paul, NASA commander Scott Kelly, and Reddit co-founder Alexis Ohanian have in common? They've all got incredible experiences and they've created audio courses to teach you what they've learned because they're on Knowable, which is a new app where the world's top experts teach new skills in bite-sized audio courses. They're short like a podcast, expert-led like an audiobook, and 100% ad-free. It's like Spotify for learning stuff. I love them. The bloke from NASA teaches you about space. That's Scott Kelly. He's awesome. Chris Paul talks about the performance benefits of a plant-based lifestyle, which is gnarly. And Reddit co-founder Alexis Ohanian teaches you how to launch a startup, which is pretty cool too. There's over 100 other experts waiting to teach you something new. So if you're keen on learning some new stuff today, download the Knowable app. Visit K-N-O-W-A-B-L-E, that's Knowable, .fyi, or download the app from your app store, whatever. Bang in the code STRAYA and you'll get 20% off. Knowable's awesome. Check it out. I love them. Now you can get smart as well while you're drinking the beers. Australian Player Watch, quick one today, because only Aussie in action today was Josh Greeny-Green. In the win over Brooklyn, he played 8 minutes and 6 seconds. He had 4 points, went 2-for-2 from the floor, 2 rebounds and 2 steals, and copped an amazing looking alley-oop from Luka, which was pretty, pretty nice. And interesting little update on Bangers. So he got benched back on April 11, so he hasn't played for about a month. And today at least was listed with a left foot. So, I mean, that's something. I'll tell you what, though. Toronto would have won that game if Bangers had played. Needed someone to slow down Robin Lopez. All right, let's do a... do you want to do the Luke Longley Memorial? Yeah, let's do the Luke Longley Memorial. Bloke who just does their bloody job. Role Player of the Week Award. And I'll tell you what. For a bloke who's the most punchable man in the NBA, Austin Rivers has got pretty bloody good perspective on him, on his role at the moment. So he said this week, I was that guy in high school. I wanted to be an all-star. I still feel like I'm good enough to be that, but that's not my role here. We've got an MVP here, so you support that guy. We've got Michael here, so you support that guy. And you're like, holy shit. Has Austin Rivers finally stopped being the world's most annoying little shithead and actually grown up and leaned into his game a little bit? And then you're like, oh, Austin Rivers just wants to stay in the NBA a bit longer. And you're like, oh, good on him. I love it. I mean, for a 20, like, this is cool, though. He was the number 10 pick back in 2012. He's 28 now. And he's doing all right. That game against the Knicks the other day where he dropped 25. And if you go back to the start of the year when he dropped, 25 against Utah, I think it was, for the Knicks, right? It was like, oh, yeah, cool. Austin Rivers, feeling it. Love this. But he's got a couple of good games just up his sleeve. Weirdly enough, his two best games this season have come against Utah when he was on the Knicks. And then he gets cut, ends up hanging out and playing for the Denver Nuggets. But just kind of doing his job. Jam and Jamal Murray goes down. They sign Austin Rivers. Look, if he's just out there shooting a bit, passing the ball around, you're feeling pretty good about it. So great job, Austin Rivers. That's the Role Player of the Week Award. Just go out there. Do your job. Don't be a mopey whinger. And we're good. Nice. All right. I mentioned that Andrew Gay's Grey Mamba bonus award for this week. Let's do that one. Let's do it.
Andrew Gay's Grey Mamba. Ah, clap it up. Russell Westbrook. I mentioned him earlier, right? Underrated. He's the first player in NBA history as of today to have 50 rebounds and 50 assists in a three-game span. That is absolutely crazy. He had 17 of each today. Yeah, what, 23 and 24 the other day? Unbelievable stuff. The thing is, the all-time record for triple-doubles, Rusty is one short of the all-time record. He's got 180. It's a record that stood for 47 years. And he's going up against Indy this weekend, and you know that he's going to get it. Just think about 180 triple-doubles. Now, you can talk about fucking rebound chasing, stat padding. I don't give a shit. It's still bloody hard. Do you know how many other stat padders there are out there? There's a shit ton. You know how hard it is to go out there and just like crank out triple-doubles on the reg? And how much like athleticism and will and just like fire you got to have? It's unbelievable. So that is the Andrew Gay's Grey Mamba Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence. He's one shy of the record, the all-time record, Oscar Robertson's record for triple-doubles. On ya, Russell Westbrook. That's Andrew Gaze-esque. I love it. Right, Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in. All right, so this one's a pretty easy one, the old Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in today, because it's a Ben Simmons Instagram post from yesterday. It's pretty bloody good, because it's just a picture of Simo, but he's wearing a T-shirt which has the very famous Soul on Ice Allen Iverson slam cover. AI with the throw out. It looks awesome. It is absolutely gnarly. And I don't know. It looks like Simo's maybe playing like pool or something. I don't know what's right there, but good on him. Love it. I just love that, you know, it's kind of the fun part about the Philly history is the AI extra sort of aspect of it where you're like, yeah, Allen Iverson was awesome. I fucking love that guy. That's gnarly. Right. What else we got though? It's time for some game previews.
Game previews.
Oh, thanks, Inadvertent Vane.
Not a problem, Jimmy. What's been going on?
I don't know, man. Just pretty excited for a weekend. Hanging out, chilling out with the squid, the missus, all the good stuff. We went 4 of 7 on the picks today as well, which is all right. You know, not bad. And that leaves us at 589 of 1,054 for the year. So we'll see how we go over the weekend, though. We've got some absolute belters of games, though. We've got the Pelicans taking on Philly tomorrow. The Sixers are 8.5-point favorites at home against the Pelicans, which is pretty crazy considering how well the Pelicans... Well, it's not that crazy because the Pelicans are so up and down. You never know what's going to happen. Philly at home are a juggernaut, though, so I'm going to take the Sixers. And I think the Pelicans will be like, oh, we can handle Embiid. And then Embiid will go, no, you can't. And the rest of Philly should step up. So give me the -8.5 of Philly against the Pels. It's one of those games where you're like, either the Pelicans make this really close or they get blown out. Boston go to Chicago. This is a fun game. Boston are 3-point favorites in the Windy City. I'm going to take Boston -3 because the Bulls played today. And also, I don't like them very much. They're very frustrating. And even without Jaylen Brown, Boston should probably have all the answers for Chicago. Orlando, go to Charlotte. Charlotte also on a back-to-back. Orlando do tend to play teams a little bit tough. They're 9-point underdogs in Charlotte. I'm going to take Orlando +9 to cover. I don't feel great about it. Orlando are very unpredictable when it comes to this sort of stuff. They might like score 75 points and get absolutely straight killed by Charlotte. But otherwise, who knows what's going to happen. So give me Orlando +9. Fingers crossed. Miami host Minnesota. This is a very interesting one. Minnesota have been playing their absolute balls off lately. However, this is in Miami. Where do you reckon the fellas from Minnesota have been? You know, heading into Miami. Oh, that's right. Maybe the club's just saying there's nice rippers, isn't there, right? Sterling Brown. Jesus. I'm going to take Miami -6. Miami are really running into shape at the moment. I think they'll handle Minnesota no problem. As Milwaukee go, oh, they're hosting Houston. That's why Milwaukee is 16.5-point favorites, and I kind of want to take it. I think Milwaukee will run rampant over the top of Houston. Dallas on a back-to-back host Cleveland. They're 10.5-point favorites even on a back-to-back. I kind of think that's fine as well. So these are two good teams, Milwaukee and Dallas, hosting two bad teams in Houston and Cleveland that don't want to win.
There are a lot of points, but I think they'll both kill them. So, yeah, there you go. Utah host Denver. They're 3-point favorites against the Nuggets. This is 1 versus 3. I'm going to take the Jazz -3. Two teams playing without, you know, some superstars. Jam and Jamal Murray versus Donnie Mitchell. I'm going to take Utah at home -3. Gobert versus Jokic. We're going to learn a lot from this one. So give me Utah -3. Phoenix hosts the New York City Knickerbockers of New York City. I'm going to take Phoenix -6. I think the Knicks on the road just won't have quite enough to keep up with Phoenix offensively on the road. It's going to be a bit rough. Portland is 6-point favorites against the Lakers. Lakers on a back-to-back. This is the big one. This is the big one. This is the head-to-head tiebreaker. Whoever wins this game gets a pretty big bump towards the 6th seed, right? And avoiding the play-in tournament. Like, Blazers win this, they have to go like 3-2 the rest of the way, and they get the 6th seed. Lakers could still go 4-1, and the Blazers still have it. So this is huge to the Blazers. If the Blazers win as well, it puts the Lakers that one loss back, which means they can't pass them really in a 3-way tie if they get to that point, essentially, because of the head-to-head. And Portland, if they can probably catch the Mavs still and pass them in a 2-way tie. So who knows what's going to happen. But give me the Blazers -6 in this one tomorrow. And San Antonio take on the Sacramento Kings in Sacramento. I'm going to take the Spurs. I don't think Pop loses to Sacramento. So give me the Spurs -4. Sunday, we've got Washington at Indy starting at 9 a.m. I'm going to take Washington in that one. Indy, look, they looked all right today against Atlanta, but Atlanta on a back-to-back. Give me the Wizards and that backcourt against Indy. Detroit go to Philly. Philly, even on a back-to-back, should be too much for Detroit at home. Memphis go to Toronto. This is going to have to be, you know, pretty close to a win this game, or you're rooted and stuck in the 9 spot for Memphis. So give me the Grizzlies. Brooklyn go to Denver. Denver on a back-to-back, having just played in Utah. Might take a bounce-back win here for Brooklyn. Can you see them losing 5 on the trot? I mean, Denver are very good, but I think I'll take Brooklyn. I think we'll get a really big KD game up there in Colorado. Houston, go to Utah. Utah will smash them. OKC, play Golden State again. I'm going to take Golden State to win again. It's pretty hard to win both of the head-to-head, back-to-back, you know, baseball series games, but Golden State can do that to OKC. And Portland then hosts San Antonio, who'll be, again, on a back-to-back on the road from Sacramento up there into Portland. Portland back-to-back games, but they're at home. I'm going to take Portland. Monday, Boston host Miami. What an awesome game that is. Unfortunately, it's at 3 a.m. Australian time. Jesus, I'm going to take the Celtics. I just feel like there's a little bit of something coming down the pike with Boston. I think they're going to be all right. New York City Knickerbockers take on the Clippers. I have to take the Clips. Kawhi, Paul George, yeah. It'd be a little bit too much for Randall and co. and the Knicks. New Orleans go to Charlotte. I'll take the Pelicans, but this does feel like one of those games where New Orleans crap the bed. Oh, that Clippers game is at 5:30 in the morning as well, if you want to wake up for that one, Knicks fans. I'll take the Pelicans versus Charlotte at 9 a.m. Dallas go to Cleveland. I'm going to take the Mavs. Minnesota at Orlando. I'll take the Wolves. They don't want to win any more games, but sometimes they just can't get out of their own way. Maybe Orlando. Oh, who knows? Minnesota, though. Minnesota should be more inclined to lose this because they will, you know, give themselves slightly better chances to keep their pick if they lose this one to Orlando. So maybe I'll take Orlando. Minnesota don't want to tank, but they might find like a creative way to go, Anthony Edwards has got like a heel. It's like, yes, he has a heel on the end of his leg. So I'll take Orlando in the head-to-head against Minnesota. Chicago versus Detroit. Chicago should bounce back and beat Detroit after they lose to Boston on tomorrow. And Phoenix go to the Lakers. Wow. It's a crazy weekend for the Lakers, isn't it? Clippers, Portland, and then the bloody Suns. Unbelievable. I'm going to take the Suns. And then OKC go to Sacramento. And I feel like Sacramento get a get-right win against the Thunder. And we'll see how we go. All right. There you go. That's all the picks. That's, what, 25 games over the weekend. Jeez. So we'll wrap all that for you up on Monday. That'll be fun on the bun. Remember to go to playup.com.au/NBA Australia. Join up, get around their NBA specials. Don't be a dickhead, bet responsibly, and be over 18. All right, that's it for today. That's it for this week. What a ripper it's been. We're back on Monday to wrap up that entire weekend for you. So make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facey, IG. We're all over the socials, even on the weekends. Have a fun Mother's Day. Don't forget Mother's Day. You know, give your mum a call. Check out World Wrestling Australia on YouTube. See what Adam from FWCI has been up to. It's all video. He's crushing it. It's very, 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 very fun. Get around. We are NBA Australia, the NBA Australia raffle. You can win heaps of great stuff, tickets to the NBL, KO subscription, or a league pass subscription. What else you got? A meat tray?
Yes.
There's links everywhere on our socials. Go look at it. Chuck us a rating and review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, whatever app you're using the Android phone. It does help out, so do it. Come on, help us out. TheDailyLiquor.com. If you're in Melbourne, bang in the code STRAY. Get a free six-pack of the DOS X on your mate Jimmy. Go to knowable.fyi. Get 20% off with the code STRAY. Big thanks go to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, House Hats. They're up and running. Out of time is out now. It's awesome. And also, big thanks go to Joshua De Laurentiis, Fascinator, Gold Mines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Should I, Green, 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 and Dozers for all the tunes you hear throughout the show. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp, Triple J on Earth, and Face. And remember, NBA Australia supports Australian fans. Spotify, Apple Music, whatever. However you listen to stuff, support them. All right, we'll close out today's show and this week with a Cooking with Bainesy. It's going to be a classic. Enjoy it, and we'll catch you on Monday, you dickheads. Have a great weekend. Say hi to your mum for me. Is NBA Australia saying, look after yourselves, would ya? And later, Hosen!
Cooking with Bainesy is filmed in front of a live studio audience.
And now it's time for Cooking with Bainesy with your host, Aaron Bangers Baines. G'day, g'day, g'day. Yes, how are you all? Oh, look at you over there. I see you over there again, Cheryl. Yes, we know that you love it. Oh, this is great. Yeah, g'day. Welcome to Cooking with Bainesy. I am your host, Aaron Bangers Bainesy. All right, so this here episode, we're going to whip up one of my absolute favourite Australian staples. You can have it whenever as well, at night, for dinner, after a big night on the Terps. It's that absolute Aussie classic. It is Hawaiian pizza. Oh, yes, that's right. I love me some Hawaiian pizza, and it's easy as to make, mate. I mean, it definitely helps keeping up this physique, if you know what I mean. I reckon I probably cook about three of these bloody things a week, you know what I'm saying? And also, hey, just for yous out there as well, don't bloody listen to anyone who says shit about pineapple on pizza. They can go and do what I tell every center in the Eastern Conference of the NBA. They can go fuck themselves, all right? You can put whatever the fuck you want on pizza. It's pizza. All right, so anyway, Hawaiian pizza is bloody simple, mate. All you gotta do is go down to your soupy and grab yourself a pizza base. I love the spongier, thick ones, you know. Grab a thing of tomato paste. Now, don't bother with the fancy pants shit with basil or oregano in it unless you want to be like all fancy pants and shit. Because then you just grab a bunch of shredded ham from the deli. Grab a bag of shredded cheese. Now, you can have mozzarella, cheddar, home brand, whatever you want. Doesn't matter. It's just bloody cheese. And the key ingredient, a tin of pineapple chunks. Now, it's pretty easy to whip this bad boy up, so let's get to it. All right, here we go. Now, just whip your base out. There you go. All right, now smother it with the tomato paste. Well, yep, there you go. Smooth her out a bit. Just make sure it's all over the entire thing. Now, dump your ham on there. Yep, all this shredded ham. Now, oh, get your fingers amongst that. Shove that to the edges. There you go. Spread that out nice and even. Yep, there you go. All right, now cover this liberally with the dead pig. Come on, man. You got to put the ham everywhere. You just need heaps and heaps and heaps of ham. Just make sure it's the nice shredded stuff, though. All right, now drain your pineapple into the sink. Or you can drain it into a cup and drink that pineapple juice, you know. What bloke doesn't like a cup of pineapple juice, you know what I'm saying, ladies? There we go. Now, fang the chunks of pineapple on there. Just put it everywhere, you know, just throw it around. And then cover up the entire bloody thing with your shredded cheese. All right. Now, we've got this oven over here. Just wang her in there in the oven. There you go. Just for a good 15, 20 minutes at about 220 degrees Celsius. None of that Fahrenheit bullshit. Now, sit back, grab a tin, and let her cook. Oh, doesn't that bloody well smell delicious? All right, now here's one we made a little bit earlier. So you can see once it's browned a bit on the edges and all your cheese is all melty and nice, you whip her out,
You chop her up into slices, and Bob is your bloody pizza-loving uncle. Now, give it a sec to cool down before you chow down. Don't burn your bloody tongue, because that cheese will be hot as buggery, eh? So, all right, now it's there. Just get your bloody munch on. And that is an absolute bloody ripper of a meal. The best bit is, and this will impress everyone, right? You can cook it whenever you want. Mates, the missus, kids, everyone bloody loves Hawaiian pizza. And if they don't, just give them the old bangers, don't argue, and go tell them to cook their own bloody pizza. Because this is just bloody delicious, mate. All right, how easy was that? Cool, there you go. That is absolutely unreal. Love me some Hawaiian pizza. All right, so that's it for this week. Tune in next week for a new recipe, and we'll see yous then on the next episode of Cooking with Bainesy.